Now, the first series of The Killing, the Danish thriller which covered the individual days of one murder investigation, got the kind of audiences which would usually make an ITV commissioning editor think of changing jobs. But it did get a lot of critical acclaim and newspaper coverage, and it's hard not to feel that it may just have been mentioned once or twice when Broadchurch was being pitched. Like The Killing, this eight-part series for ITV begins with the discovery of a child's body, found on the beach in a small seaside town. One of those communities in which everybody seems to know everybody.
Oh, God, no, no, no.
Off the beach. Hey, this area is off limits,
no,
as of now.
Police. Oh, God. I know him. He lives here. Oh, he has tea at my house. He's my boy's best friend. Oh, God, Beth, does Beth know?
All right, calm down, DS Miller.
You don't understand. I know that boy.
Shut it off. Be professional.
Shut it off.
You're working a case now. Alec Hardy.
I know, you got my job.
Really? You want to do that now?
You don't even know who he is!
Tell me!
Daniel Latimer, 11 years old, goes to school with my boy Tom. His family live here, Dad's a local plumber.
It's a suicide spot.
He wouldn't do that.
Answer the question.
No, there are others. There's one 3 miles west, there's another one further inland. He's not that type of kid.
Find out where Soko are. We have to move fast, that tide will be in.
David Tennant as D.I. Alec Hardy and Olivia Colman as D.S. Ellie Miller, beginning their investigation into the death of Danny. Like any standard police procedural, Broadchurch is interested in who did it, and it knows television audiences will be too. But it's also interested in the ways that such a mystery would appeal in real life to journalists hoping to sell a paper, looking at the process by which what is at first local news becomes a national story. Susan Jeffries, what did you think?
I've just seen the first episode and I'm hooked. I think it's good. I see what you say about, you know, they're following the killing idea, except they've gone against it by putting it in midsummer with a lovely creamy Dorset light coming through everything. But there's a fantastic musical score, which is very doomy, very killing, and lots of accumulation of tiny domestic detail, which it's part of how the whole Scandi crime people operate. They really fix you in the location and in the class and then start to introduce these unsettling notes. Yeah, I give it another go. If only David Tennant could get himself a razor.
If he could get himself a razor and do up his tie. I thought it was an odd moment when he turns up, I think, quite at the funeral.
He looks like he stepped off a Prada set. You know, yeah. It's way too stylish for Dorset, the country policeman, really.
No, I mean, he's got a past. That's how the stubble signifies that he's got a bit of a dodgy past, I think.
I thought the whole programme was incredibly stylish from the off. I mean, the title sequence with those sort of horizontal bands of the cliff and
it
the sea.
It has a very elegant opening sequence, yeah, doesn't it? Very,
very
visually elegant.
I thought, this is classy for ITV, you know. Yeah. And it has sort of like these little slow-mo bits that sort of drop in, and again the way it's lit is very pretty. It's and it does suffer from one of the kind of modern conditions of drama on TV, which is like it's set in the village of the good-looking people, where everything's a little bit too stylish and a little bit too well-dressed and a little bit too good-looking.
Did you not feel as well, it has a long tracking shot at the beginning where the father of the boy is on his way to work in the morning.
Oh, yes.
And he walks through the village. He seems to know absolutely
like
everybody,
Curtis,
and everybody
movie,
knows him.
Where
yes.
Sort of chirpy hellos of all of his good community mates.
Well, I agree, you know, that small towns, not everybody knows everybody really, do they? Laura Wade.
Not quite, but this small town does have a really cracking cast to it, I thought. I mean, some of my absolute favourite actors. Olivia Colman, I'd pretty much watch her do anything. I think quite a lot of people who make television and films think that too, because she seems to get lots of great parts in things, which is wonderful. But very kind of truthful and detailed performances, I thought, from all of those people.
Well, she's important, I think, because I mean, the reason I mentioned The Killing too was I thought one of the things that was distinctive, certainly about the first series of The Killing, was that the victims, the grief of the parents, was not just an incidental detail. It was
a sustained burden. A traffic jam when she's in the car, which I think is really good. When she's stuck in the traffic and she realises, and that is...
She hears, doesn't she, that a body has been found, and she's already worried about her son because she doesn't know where he is.
That is a brilliant, because there's already tension in the traffic jam itself, and then it's compounded.
I wondered a little bit whether you had any kind of anxiety about the use of the death of a child like that. It's such kind of easy charge to put into it.
I was worried that it was going to go the way of so many dramas now. It's like, it's the child abuse what done it, you know, which is at the end of it. But there was a clue. I won't spoil it, but there was a clue that suggested it wasn't going to be that. And the little clues that are
dropped
in.
You're ahead of me, I must say, because it seems to me. I mean, there was one rather clunky piece of clueing. There's a strange, sinister woman who stands around smoking a cigarette. You know, sign of villainy.
Oh, it's
anyway.
Pauline Quirk.
And
yes,
Pauline
Quirk,
because
looking daggers at
looking
people.
But she's doing her bit not to look as beautiful as she might in it. And she's the. But it's Pauline Quirk. So you think, oh, how can this be going?
Well, you know she's going to come back. I thought that was a more clunky moment because the camera...
I like the way it suddenly opened up. We must be about three quarters of the way through and you think this is all going to be set in this little town. And all of a sudden it cuts to the newspaper office of
there's a sort of Leveson strand to the drama as well, isn't there? I mean, they must have been working on it before Leveson, I would have thought, at some level, but it's fed into it a little bit.
Yes, it was a strange disjunction, actually, when we suddenly arrived in the London newspaper office, because before we'd met the very small local newspaper. And I couldn't help thinking that the local newspaper that the younger journalist had already been chastised by his boss for tweeting the fact of this death, and that actually then we'd got to the end of the available drama with those characters. If they weren't going to behave badly, then we would need to import some journalists from London who were going to shake things up a bit. And you do kind of feel like, I mean, there was a press conference in towards the end of the episode that seemed fairly unattended for something that was about the death of the child, but you keep feeling that sort of the world's press are going to descend as story.
I think it's beginning. Develops. It's beginning to sort of bubble, isn't it? They've caught it at that moment suddenly comes to the attention of the.
That's part
press.
Of the good rhythm of it, isn't it? And although I take your point about the good morning scene as he's going through the town greeting everybody, but in a way you're starting to feel already a little bit suspicious. How come he knows quite so many people?
Yes, he's definitely in the frame, isn't he, the father?
He's already putting him in the frame. So I think that's part of it.
It was also the highly suspicious. He's a plumber, and he explains the fact that he was away at night because he was out on an emergency call. I thought, you got a plumber out at 3 o'clock in the morning.
What a town it must be.
It's very contemporary feeling, though. All the use of social media and phones and computers, there's a lot of that, and it does nail what I think is the very contemporary cliche, which is the boutique hotel. It perfectly started. It got the ironic antlers on the wall. It absolutely
the
perfect
swan painting.
Yes.
It may well have been a real boutique hotel.
Yeah, they all look the same. I'm sorry.
I think it does work very hard to avoid pretty much all of the cliches. I mean, when they were doing the first police conference about it with the pictures up and don't do this, don't do that, that kind of lapsed into it. But most of the time, they pulled back from that.
It's also that the police work is the only kind of form of employment where going in and shouting at your inferiors is supposed to be the way to get things to happen and make everything work better.
Works every time.
I'm not persuaded by that, but anyway, I will be watching it again like you. I'm already hooked. Broadchurch begins on ITV on Monday, the 4th of March at 9 p.m.